Morning.
And we're holding on Kuf Tesavov Amud Aleph by the Mishnah at the bottom of the page. The Mishnah says, Zebub Chavisa Shoyayin Zebub Kadesh Odvash. Suppose you have two people coming down the street, one holding a barrel of wine and the other one a jug of honey. We learned actually back all the way at the beginning of the third parak that the words chavis and kad to a certain extent are interchangeable, even though technically a chavis is larger than a kad, and therefore the Mishnah over here uses the word chavis and kad interchangeably. Anyway, now we learned before we learned before that Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha had held that there's actually a t'nai based in involved that the one with the honey can make the other one pour out the wine and then to save his honey and then he'll reimburse him out of the value of his honey. Whether our Mishnah agrees with that is one is discussed among the Mefarshim. Anyway, the Mishnah says Nistika chavis shodvash. So now the barrel of honey cracked. The shofach ze yenoi, the one who is holding the wine spilled out his wine, which is worth less than the honey. The hitzel said bash and saved the honey. Ainloi, then he's only entitled to his pay, meaning the schar. Rashi explains the schar of the keli and the schar of the pa'ula. So the schar of the keli would be, in other words, how much would this other guy have had to pay in order to rent a keli for this purpose? And the schar pa'ula, how much he has to pay him for his time and for his effort that he worked, that he went and saved his that he went and saved his honey. Whether that means, therefore, so it comes whether that's exactly the same as what Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha had said about that he's entitled to be reimbursed for his value for the value of his wine out of the value of his honey. So there's a few possibilities. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta discusses that there may be a difference between whether he poured out whether the owner of the honey actually poured out the other guy's wine. Or whether he poured it out on his own, so therefore there would be a difference how much he could collect. And the other possibility is that maybe the halacha, maybe Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha disagrees with our Mishnah, and the halacha would be like our Mishnah. And there's further discussion about that. Anyway, v'im Omar, but if the owner of the wine said explicitly, "Atzilas shalchav, I'm going to save your honey, but you have to pay me the value of my wine, chayef litinloi, then the other guy has to pay him, because then there was a t'nai, as we'll see in the Gemara. Similarly, shotaf nacho chamor v'chamor chaveiroi. Similarly, if a stream, if a river swept away his donkey and somebody else's, shalo yofam mana v'shal chaveiroi masayim, his own donkey is worth 100 zuz, the other guy's is worth 200 zuz. V'hiniach zeh shalo v'hitzol shal chaveiroi. So the owner of the 100 zuz donkey left his donkey, and fine, it'll drown. And I don't have the opportunity to save both of them in order to save the other one, in order to save the more expensive donkey. Ain le'elos, then all he's entitled to is the schar of his tircha. But if he says to begin with explicitly, "I'll save yours," and that means I'm going to leave mine to drown, but you're going to have to reimburse me the full value of mine, then chayev litinloi, then he's going to be chayev to reimburse him the whole 100 for his, because he actually made that t'nai before he came to save it. And we'll discuss in the Gemara, and we'll discuss in the Gemara on Kuftes Zayin Omer Aleph about the details of that din. Now, the Gemara is going to point out, why do we need the second case altogether? It seems to be exactly the same as the first case involving the barrel of honey where the honey is about to spill out. So once we have the principle, we know that it applies to all other cases. Why do we need to say it also in the case of the donkeys? So again, the Gemara will explain what the chiddush of it is. But first, the Gemara says, "V'amai," in the case of the honey and the wine, why b'chlal is the owner of the wine not entitled to he should be entitled to actually take the honey? Why can't he say, "I'm zoicha from hefker"? Your honey would have completely spilled out. It would have completely gone to waste because your barrel broke. If I hadn't saved it in my barrel, therefore it's hefker. Therefore, forget about whether I should be entitled only to schoroi or the value of my wine. I should be entitled to all that honey because it was hefker. Mi loy tanya, haven't we learned in a braisa in a similar case? Suppose a person is carrying barrels of wine or oil, and he sees that the barrels are breaking and everything is going to spill out and go to waste. He can't say how there's a truma or maisa paid us shiyeshli b'seich basi. He can't now say, you know what, this wine or this oil should be truma on behalf of wine or oil that I have in my house. And he's figuring that this way he'll gain that now he's accomplished giving truma, and now he won't have to do that again from other wine that he has at home. Now, technically, Tosfos points out you're not even really supposed to do that, because you're supposed to take truma and meiser min hamukaf only from what's together, and here this wine is not together with the rest of the wine in his house. So he really shouldn't be doing that anyway. But Tosfos says there could be, for example, we could be talking about it's right before Shabbos or Yom Tov, where there he is allowed to take truma min hamukaf, shaloi min hamukaf. Anyway, the point is, but now because the barrels are breaking and the wine or the oil is about to spill out, he can't say that v'im omar. And if he does say that lo yamar klum, then what he said doesn't count for anything, because then, in effect, what he's doing is, it's considered like hefker. Because it's going to go to waste, it's considered like hefker, and therefore he can't validly designate it as truma or meiser on behalf of his produce. So how is it over here then, in the case where the honey is about to spill and go to waste, how is it that we're saying that the owner of the wine who's using his barrel, who's emptying out his barrel to save the honey, is only entitled to scharoi, only to the amount the other guy would have had to pay to rent a barrel and to rent somebody to help him, or if he made a tnai in the value of his wine, he should be able to get all of that honey, because he's the one who saved it from becoming hefker. And the answer is k'd'omer Rav Yirmiya, as Rav Yirmiya says further on in the sugya, k'she eikel beis habad koruch aleha, that would to Rav Yirmiya later on explains a case in the sugya to be talking about when the eikel beis habad is wrapped around it. So like this, in a beis habad is an olive press. So what happens? You gather together a bunch of olives and you're going to press them with a beam to make oil. The problem is you need to have something to keep the olives from when you press down on with them on the beam, naturally they're going to go start rolling in every direction. So you want to make sure that doesn't happen. You put around them a netting. The Eikel Beis Habad is a kind of netting made out of, it can be made out of vines, it can be made out of, it can be made out of ropes, whatever it is. It's some kind of netting that you put around the olives, so that when you're pressing down them on them from the top, they don't go squirting out in every direction from the sides. So that kind of thing is called Eikel Beis Habad. And now, so later on, Rav Yirmiya is going to explain that you have a case where the Eikel Beis Habad is wrapped around it, which therefore, now what that does is, when you have that wrapped around a barrel, it's not going to prevent anything from leaking out at all, but it's going to slow the rate of it. Like this, we're talking about the barrel broke. So without the Eikel Beis Habad, the pieces, the shards of earthenware would break apart, and that's it. Everything spills out and everything's gone. When you have the Eikel Beis Habad wrapped around it, then what that accomplishes is now you have only a slow leak. So now Hochanami, the same thing over here. We're gonna say Eikel Beis Habad Koruch Aleha, that we're talking about when the owner of the guy with the barrel of honey, he has the Eikel Beis Habad wrapped around it such that the honey is not gonna all of a sudden spill out all at once. It's a slow leak, because the Eikel Beis Habad, of course, doesn't cause doesn't hold everything together so tightly. But it's enough that now the oil, that now the honey is only leaking out a little at a time. So now the one with the wine comes along and says, you know what, I'll spill out my wine. Or as Tosfos discusses earlier, you may even have where the owner of the honey makes him spill out his wine, whatever, and save it. And that way none of the honey goes to waste. But like this, even without it, the honey wouldn't have gone to waste, because most of it would have stayed and only a little of it would have leaked out and dribbled away. So therefore, so he could say, Val yad chak, therefore it's not considered hefker. Now, on the other hand, when we said the case where the person is carrying wine or oil and sees that they're breaking and he can't designate it as Truma or Meiser, there we're talking about there's no Ekel Beis Habad wrapped around it, and therefore it is, in fact, going to all spill away right away, and now we're saying he can't make Truma and Meiser on behalf of his produce. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, V'im Omar Lo Omar Klum, now we said in the Braisa, we said in the Braisa, if he does try to designate this wine or oil, which is about to spill out, if he tries to designate it Truma or Meiser, then what he said doesn't count for anything. So the Gemara says, why not? V'altanya, we learn in a Braisa, Misha Baba Derech, a person is traveling on the road, Umois B'yadei, and he has money in his hands, V'anos Kenegdei, and he sees an anos, a thief, a robber, whatever, coming in his direction. He cannot say the peiros of Maisa Sheni or Neter Avai that I have in my house on Mechulal on this money. Like this, he could have said that. If there weren't the listim over there, he could say that. He could say right now while I'm on the road, I'm designating that this money will be used to be Mechalol my Maisa Sheni with the benefit of it that now, first of all, as soon as he comes home, it's already Mecholo, but even now, therefore, his family could eat from those payers and not have a problem because it's already been Nischalal on the money. But now that you have an Anas coming, he should not say that because this money is going to get lost. V'im Omar, but if he does say Dvar of Kayomin, then his words are valid. So why is it over here it would be valid, even though the Anas is surely going to steal the money, whereas in the case of the wine and oil, he can't because the wine or the oil are going to spill away. So what's the difference? And the answer is because the case involving the robber is he could save his money from the anus. He would be able. He has the ability to fight back or whatever it is, and to sweet talk the guy into leaving him alone, whatever it is. So he has some way. The money is not necessarily a goner. He might actually be able to prevent the anus from taking it. Well, the Gemara says, well, then why is the Braisa saying that he shouldn't be saying this? If he's able to save the money, then what's the problem? It's fully his money. And the answer is, because you're talking about he could save it, but it's going to be with difficulty. So lachtchila, in order not to cause Maisa Sheni to in order not to cause a loss to Maisa Sheni like this, you want to have, after all, to be mechalal the money, to be mechalal the peiros on money, which is going to be able to be taken to your shalayim, and here most likely it's going to end up being taken by the anas, and you're not going to be able to do that. So lachtchila, you shouldn't do that, but you could yochal lahatzel at edchak with difficulty. You are going to be able to save it, so therefore we can't necessarily say to begin with that it's a given that you're going to lose it. Therefore, b'di'evid, you could declare it as Truma or Meiser. So the Gemara asks, so you're telling me that any time where there's likely to be a loss, then l'chatchila, you're not allowed to say such a thing, to make a Truma or Meiser, or to be Mechal or Meiser Sheni or whatever. We learn in yet another Braisa, suppose that a Levi has shall tevel tome, suppose that a Levi has 10 barrels of tevel, which is tome. He sees that one of them has broken, he has 10 barrels of Meiser Rishon from which he has not yet separated Trumas Meiser. And until he separates Trumas Meiser, he can't, then that Meiser Rishon has the din of Tevel for him. The same way as the Yisrael, the farmer, cannot eat from the produce until he takes out Trumas and Meiser, the same way the Levi, once he receives Meiser Rishon, cannot eat or drink from it until he takes out Trumas Meiser for the Kohen. So here he has 10 barrels of Tevel Tome, meaning Tevel, meaning Meiser Rishon, which is Tevel as far as Trumas Meiser. And it's Tome, the raw Achas mentioned Nishbaraish and Iskalsa. He sees that one of them has broken or has gotten uncovered, whereas we know throughout Shas, and as we're going to talk about soon, you have the problem that a snake might have drunk from it. Oimer, then he can say, Harehi Trumas Meiser, Al Tesha Chavre Seha. He's able to say, even though that one is broken or uncovered and can't be used anymore. Then he's able to designate it Trumas Meiser on behalf of the other nine. Rashi points out the Gemara further on is going to talk about that Now, wine. Now, since it's tame, no, since it's tame, the kohen is not going to be able to drink. Is not going to be able to drink that wine because you can't drink truma tamea. The Gemara is going to talk about soon. In principle, you could use that wine to sprinkle around your house like air freshener. However, we're talking about over here. Rashi points out the Gemara is going to explain further on that we're talking about it's new wine, it's fresh wine, where you can't really do that. That only works with wine that's aged and has a smell to it and has an alcohol content and whatever. There you can use it for ziluf. Here you really can't. But there is a hefset involved over here because the kohen can't drink that truma. Nevertheless, he's still able to do that. Ubashemen lo yasakein. On the other hand, when it comes to oil, continues the b'raisa, he should not do that. But ne hefset kohen, because he's causing the kohen a loss, because now this oil is going to have to be spilled out because it's tame, or because it was drunk from a snake. So the Gemara is going to point out soon the difference between wine and oil, and we're going to see that there's a difference between the amount of hefsed that we have. In any case, the point is that at least by wine, we're saying that the Chachamim are not concerned apparently about hefsed mu'at, about the slight loss that the kohen is going to have. So in other words, what we have is like this: the wine is tame anyway; the kohen can't drink it to begin with. So now we're talking about, in addition, the barrel broke. Or it got uncovered, and therefore a snake might have drunk from it, and he can't drink it. But now he can't even keep it around. But in the case of wine, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, it's only a hefsed muat. It's only a slight hefsed, and therefore, so we see there's not a problem. So why is it? So on the face of it, then, that's the same thing as the case involving the money with the robber, where there was a hefsed muat. There's a possibility that Maisa Sheni may lose out. There's a possibility that not. So why is it that? So why is it in the case of the anus? Now, so we have three different cases. In other words, we have the first braisa that we brought right after the Mishnah, which said that if the barrels are breaking, you can't designate them as truma and meiser, and if you did, it doesn't even count at all. Then we have the case involving the money with the anas, where we're saying machatchila, you shouldn't designate the money for meiser sheni to be machalo meiser sheni, but b'dieved you could. And then we have now a third braisa that's saying that you could do it even machatchila when it comes to wine. So what's the difference? And here's the original context where Rabbi Yirmiyah had said, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kesha Eko Beis Abad Koruch Aleha, that the case is where he has the Eko Beis Abad, that netting that he uses in the olive press, is wrapped around the barrel, and therefore, again, we're talking about that the wine is not really spilling out completely. It's only dripping out a little bit at a time. So therefore, it's not such a hefsid, and therefore he is allowed even l'chatchila to designate it as trumas meiser. So in other words, in short, the three cases depend. Are we talking about when we're saying he can't designate it truma or meiser at all? Means where the barrels are breaking and there's no ekel beis abad, so it is definitely going to all go and then spill out and be gone. So then he can't designate it truma and meiser. Then you have the case involving the anus, where we're talking about he could save it ayded chak. So l'chatchila he shouldn't designate it to be machal ma'aser sheni, but b'dieved it's fine. And then we have the case over here involving the wine that was tame, which also where the barrel broke or was uncovered and a snake might have drunk from it, where they were saying. Because in particular, we're talking about when the barrel broke, because eko beis abad koruch aleha, therefore you only have a slight possibility, therefore you only have a little bit of a loss because only a little bit of it is going to leak out, and therefore you don't have a problem, and therefore you can designate it as trumas meiser even to begin with. So those are the distinctions. There is a difference in girsa over here in the Gemara between Rashi and Tosfos, as far as that the way we were just learning is the way that Rashi learns it, that we're saying the Gemara was asking whenever there's a hefsid l'chatchila you shouldn't say it. So in other words, why is it by the anus you shouldn't l'chatchila designate the money as to be mechal ma'aser sheni, but in the case of the barrels of wine then you could do that l'chatchila. Tosfos has a different girsa actually Where the question was really between the first and the second Braisa, that the first Braisa had said you can't designate them as Truma and Maisa at all, versus the last, sorry, between the first and the last Braisa, so not between the second and the third Braisa, but rather between the first and the third Braisa, where the first one says you can't designate them at all, and then the Sefer was saying by oil, you can't do it L'Hatchila, but B'dievet it would be Truma. So according to them, in other words, the question is not so much about Hefsin Meruba versus Hefsin Mu'at. The question was, in the first Braisa, we said where it's about to go lost, then you can't designate it Truma or Maisa at all. Whereas in the Sefer, we're saying you could be the Evan. In the case of oil, we said by oil, you shouldn't do that. Lo Yasakein, he should not do that because of Hefsin Koyin, implying, but if he did do that, b'dievid, then it is valid. So what would be the difference? And the answer would be that that you're talking about because the barrel of oil has the eco base abad wrapped around it, and therefore very little of it is going, and therefore it's really not going to leak out enough to make a difference. Okay. So the Gemara says, Bishlemish and Nishbara Chazia. Now, if the barrel was broken, then I understand we can still use it after all, because again, the koyin, most of it is still going to be in there because the ekel beis habad is wrapped around it. So only a little of it is going to leak out. So fine, the koyin is able to use the wine or the oil to the same extent as he would have before. Remember, the wine or the oil is tummy from before. So he can't drink it, or use it in salad dressing or whatever. But nevertheless, he could still use it for other purposes. But you have to ask, if it was uncovered, a snake might have drunk from it, what could he use it for? You're not supposed to use it because of danger, because a snake might have drunk from it. You're going to answer that he can use it to sprinkle around his house, and in particular with wine, he can use it like we just said, to sprinkle it around almost as like air freshener or something. So you're going to say that maybe he can do that. No, Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Mayim Shinisgalu, when water was uncovered, and the same thing would apply to wine, because the same dinim of Gilui apply equally well to wine and water and various other drinks. And by the way, Tosfos points out, when it comes to oil, now in principle, the Kohen could use the oil for lighting a candle, for lighting a lamp. There's no problem that there might be snake venom in there, because that's not going to, that when he lights it in a lamp, that's not going to be a problem. But he would have to do a lot of tircha in it. He would have to be careful not to touch the oil at all, because he might absorb some of the venom through his skin. He would have to be careful that there's not other oil in there already that's going to contaminate, etc. So he could do it, but it would be a big tircha. But in the case of wine, you can't even do that, because the Braisa says, Mayim shenisgalu, water that was left uncovered, lo yishpachem b'rishos harabim, a person should not pour them out in rishos harabim, because what happens if a person walks by barefoot and the venom that might be in the water is going to affect him through his feet? He can't use it to mix with clay to make bricks or whatever. Same problem. He can't use that water to sprinkle around the house to lay down the to keep down the dust, which would be the equivalent of ziluf with wine. He can't use them to give to his animal to drink, or somebody else's animal, because again, then you might have not so much because of the danger to the animal. But Rashi points out that later on somebody is going to shech the animal and eat the meat, and then you'll have the venom still in there, and it could affect the person. In the case of the pouring it out in Rishos Harabim, also Rashi points out that what happens is, for example, now if the guy is walking barefoot and the soles of his feet are intact, there's very little problem. But the problem is, he might, for example, previously have banged his foot on a stone or something, and now he has a sore on his foot, and now he has an open wound on his foot. And now, when he walks on that venom, it's going to get directly into his bloodstream, and then there's going to be problems. So he can't do any of those things. So the question is, now, in the case of wine or oil, that was, so again, as Tosfos is saying, the question is not so much about the oil, because the oil, at least in principle, you could use for lighting, but there is a hefsid koyin, because the koyin can only use it, has to be very careful when he uses it for lighting, but at least with wine, you don't even have that. He can't drink it because it's tummy. He can't use it for sprinkling around his house as air freshener, because we just said you can't do that with wine or water that was left uncovered. So what are we saying? That if this wine was left uncovered, you will b'dieved, or even l'chatchila, we said he could designate it as ma'as trumas ma'aser. Why? What's the kohen going to be able to do with it? And the answer is the kohen can strain the wine, as Reb Nechemya says that that's effective in getting rid of the venom. Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, when you have wine that's straining in a container, so Rashi explains that what you do is you put one keli on top of the other, then what you do is you put the dregs of the wine in the top container, and it serves almost as like a natural filter, and therefore the wine, the actual liquid wine, starts filtering out through that and lands in the bottom container. So yesh b'mishum gilui, there is a problem of gilui. You would have to cover the top container so that a snake doesn't drink from it. Meaning, in other words, according to the Tanakhama, even though now you're straining the wine, on the face of it, if a snake does drink from it and inject venom into it, so what? This filter, the strainer, will prevent the venom from going through to the bottom keli. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama says you can't do that. All the more so, Rashi says, if the bottom container is uncovered, then you have even more of a problem. Omer of Nechemya, but Reb Nechemya says, Emasai, no, when is there a problem? Bizman shatech tonem agula, only when the bottom container is uncovered, because then, yeah, after the wine is strained, then maybe a snake might go and drink from it and inject venom into it. But Reb Nechemya says, if the bottom container is covered, and the only opening between it and the top container is only where the strainer is, and therefore a snake can't get in there, even though the top container is uncovered, says Reb Nechemya, there's no problem of gilui, because a snake's venom is like a sponge, but it floats and it stays in its place. So therefore, Reb Nechemya says, in other words, it's not going to be able to pass through the strainer. So there's no problem that it'll get into the bottom container. And therefore, so according to Reb Nechemya, so now you have this barrel of wine that was left uncovered. So now you could still, he could still designate it as trumas meiser, even though it was because it was tomei before, and now it's uncovered. In addition, the kohen is not going to be able to use it because of the snake venom. Reb Nechemya says he can strain it, and therefore that's fine, and that will get rid of the venom if there was any in there. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the chiddush is that the wine is the wine in the bottom container. There is wine pouring into it from the top one, and elsewhere in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara has a whole discussion about these dinim of uncovered liquids and the dinim about that snakes may have drunk from them. And the Gemara mentions over there that when you have dripping, when you have a constant dripping into a container, then that scares off the snake. The difference is, Tosfos over here says it's not just drip by drip. You have a lot of wine pouring in at once from the top container that's being strained through. So therefore, that's not going to scare away a snake, and therefore there is a problem that the snake might drink from the bottom container, which is why Reb Nechemya says the bottom container has to be covered. On the other hand, the top container you don't have to worry about, says Reb Nechemya, because if there was any venom in it, it'll be strained out and it won't pass through. But the Gemara says, "Lav itman Allah." Wasn't there said about that by Meroyim Omer of Simon Omer of Shimon Levi? Loishanu elashalei torkoi. Now that applies only if afterwards you didn't mix. Only if you didn't mix it. So in this case over here, you're straining it, and the wine is going through on its own. You're not touching the wine after you pour it into the top container. Aval torkoi osur. But if you mixed it, then it's also because then the venom may get mixed with the wine, and then it will actually pass through the filter. So in that case, according to Reb Nechemya, how does that help? When you're pouring the wine, melee, in other words, you have to begin with, you have wine that was placed into a strainer and then is filtering through. Then Reb Nechemya is going to say the one that's in the top is not going to be a problem because if the snake comes now while it's straining and drinks from the top container, then that venom will stay there and not go through. But to begin with, if you have a barrel of wine that was previously uncovered and a snake injected venom into it, and you pour that into a masanenis, into a strainer, even Reb Nechemya is going to agree that you have a problem because now the venom will have gotten broken up and mixed with the wine, and therefore it could pass through the strainer. So again, we're back to the question. If this barrel of wine has been left uncovered and a snake drunk from it, even according to Reb Nechemya, what is the kohen going to be able to do with it? The answer is Hosam Nami, Efsha de Manach Midi, Akuma de Chavisa, de Shafi Le. The answer is even in that case, the Kohen conceivably could put something on the top of the barrel and then gently pour out of the barrel. And then that way, if there's any venom in the barrel, it won't pass through. So, in other words, he's not going to pour it. He's not going to turn the barrel over and pour the whole thing at once into the mesenenes. That would have the problem because he might, if the venom that's in there is going to get broken up and mixed up with the wine. No, we're talking about that he'll take a cloth, for example, and then he'll tilt the barrel gently and start filtering out the wine through the cloth. And that way, if there was any venom in there, it'll stay behind. Again, according to the Chachamim, even that wouldn't work, but according to the Nechemia, that would work. Okay, the question is, Reb Nechemia, mitome atome mitarminan? The question is, if you're going to tell me that the Braisa that we just quoted is according to Reb Nechemia, does Reb Nechemia Bechlal hold that the case with the 10 barrels where you're designating one as Trumas Meiser and one of them was previously uncovered, and you're going to tell me that Braisa is only according to Reb Nechemia because according to the Chachamim, once they were left uncovered, then you have nothing that you can do with it. Does Reb Nechemia Bechlal hold that you can take Meiser Truma from produce that's Tomei on behalf of other produce that's Tomei? Vahatanya, we learn a Braisa. You can take truma from tome on behalf of other tome produce, and from toher on toher, and from toher on tome, avaloy min atome ala toher, but you cannot take from tome on behalf of toher, because then you're causing the koyin to lose out, because then you're like, it's as if like you're taking the worst stuff and giving it to the koyin. So, the same way, for example, you can't take, let's say, spoiled fruit and give it as truma on behalf of good fruit, the same way over here. You can't give from Tomei on behalf of Tohar. And Reb Nechemia says, even from Tomei on Tomei, the Chachamim allow it only when you're taking Meiser from Dmai, where anyway you have a strong likelihood that the Amma Oretz took Meiser from it in the first place, but not from Vadai, where you know that Meiser wasn't taken yet. So the question is over here then, so Reb Nechemia holds you can't take from Tomei on Tomei anyway. So how can we say that the Braisa about the 10 barrels is going to him? And the answer is, Hochanami, Shodmai. Fine. So the case of the 10 barrels is talking about that's 10 barrels of Dmai wine. And so we know that the Amma Oretz took Truma from it because all the Amma Oretz take Truma, but we don't know whether they took Meiser Rishon and Trumas Meiser, and therefore now the Levi, to be on the safe side, has to take Trumas Meiser and give to the Kohen. Very well, Reb Nechemia said, since by Dmai we have many kulos, one of those kulos is that he can take from Tomei on behalf of Tomei. So therefore, yes, the braisa of the 10 barrels would work according to Reb Nechemia. Okay, the Gemara says, Omamar. Now we said earlier in the braisa of a shemen lo yasa came with nehefsed koyin. We said by oil, he shouldn't do that l'chatchila because the koyin is going to lose out. As opposed to by wine, we said he could do it even l'chatchila. So the question is, maishna shemen. So what's the difference by oil? That the deroy lahadlik. Where oil, even though it's tomei, he could use it for lighting a lamp. Yayin nami roi lezilov. In the case of wine, can he use it to sprinkle around his house when it's tomei? V'chitema zilov la. And we had one case where the barrels were breaking. So fine. In the case of the sprinkling around the house, we said that you can't do that because. So again, we said the braisa is according to Reb Nechemia. So once you strain the wine, you could even use it for zilov according to Reb Nechemia. According to the Chachamim, you can't. But fine, we're saying the braisa is according to Reb Nechemia. But what's the difference by oil, even though it's tomei and you can't eat it? And it was left uncovered, or it's broken, or whatever. And you're saying that there is a certain hefsed to the koyin because deroy lahadlit, without the barrel having broken or without it getting uncovered, at least the koyin could have used that oil to light a lamp, which he's allowed to do with truma tmeya. Yayin nami chazil roy lezilov. Can't he use wine also for zilov? V'chitema zilov lav milsehi. You're going to answer what a zilov doesn't really count for anything. It's not considered the fact that before when the wine was tome and he designated it as trumas meiser, the kohen could have used it for zilov and now he can't because the barrel is breaking. You're going to say that that's not much of a loss and therefore we don't care. Why? V'amashmo mashum rabchia shosin milug b'selo mezalfin milug b'shtayim. When it wine for drinking, you buy a lug for a cellar. Wine for sprinkling around your house, you buy a lug for two cellar. Because, in other words, the wine that you use for Zilof is very good, high quality wine. So, in other words, what he's saying is, Rashi says, if you find, when it comes to drinking, so fine. If you find cheap wine where they sell a lug of it for a cellar, go ahead and buy it. But when it comes to Lazalef, when it comes for Ziluf, be willing to buy even the kind of wine that sells for two zuzim a cellar, because if you get extra hana out of it. So we see that Ziluf is something that counts for a lot. The answer is Hochemaiskin and Bechodesh, because we're talking about over here the wine is new. So therefore, so it doesn't really do much good for Ziluf, because it needs to have a good aroma and whatever to it in order to be practically speaking used for Ziluf. So the Gemara says, why? So what's the problem? So it's new wine right now. What you do is you leave it till it gets old, and eventually it'll be useful for Ziluf. And the answer is can't. The osibilia de takola. The problem is, meanwhile, there might be a takola. The koyin may forget that it's tome and end up drinking it, and that he'd be over because it's truma tmeya. So therefore, you can't have him keep it around in the first place. So therefore, the result is, so in other words, when the wine is tome and it's new, there's really nothing the koyin can use it for anyway. So therefore, so you're not really causing the koyin much of a loss by designating it as trumas meiser, because in any case, all of the wine, all 10 barrels were tummy anyhow, and regardless, the koyin is not really going to be able to get much use out of this wine, as opposed to with oil, before, as it was only tummy, he would have been able to get use out of it by lighting it in a lamp, and now because the barrels cracked, or because it was drunk from by a snake, then he can't do that, so therefore you're causing him a bigger hefsek. So the Gemara asks, Shemen Nami Osibir the Detakola. Well, isn't there the same problem with oil? He's not going to be lighting the oil in a lamp all at once. It's going to be a little at a time. And meanwhile, he might accidentally drink from it. And the answer is, the Manach the Klimos. What he can do with the oil, he can put it into a dirty keli, and therefore he's not going to drink from that. So the question is, Yain Nami Manach Le the Klimos. So with wine, what wouldn't he be able to do the same thing? And the answer is no. The whole point is he wants to use it to sprinkle around his house as air freshener. Would he put it in a dirty keli? Of course not. That would destroy the aroma of the wine, which he wants to use for ziluf. So therefore, to begin with, he's going to put it in a clean container, and therefore there's more of a problem that he might drink it. So therefore, by wine, since it's new wine, we don't want to allow him liyashna to keep it around until it gets old. Therefore, there's very little hefsed that the Kohen is having over here, even before the wine was tome, and there wasn't really much use that he could get out of it. So now the barrel's cracked, or now that a snake drunk from it, you're not really causing him any more hefsed than you did before by designating it as trumas meiser, because even before that, as it was tome, you would have already, when you designated it as trumas meiser, the Kohen wouldn't really have very much use out of it. As opposed to with oil, where you have, as opposed to with oil, what the Kohen could do, he could take that Tomei oil and put it in a dirty keli and use it little by little to light lamps. And now that the barrel was cracked, or now that it was drunk from by a snake, he can't do even that. And therefore, it's more of a hefsed that you're causing the Kohen by designating that as Trumas Meiser. So the Gemara says, the takola atzma tanoihi. Now, this point, actually, whether we're concerned about takola, when you keep around your house something which is tame and you're not allowed to eat, truma, which is tame, for example, you're not allowed to eat, and whether there's a problem of takola, whether the chachamim are concerned that you might forget at some point and eat it, tanoihi is actually a machlokas tanoi. The tanya, we learn in a braisa. Chobis shor yayin shor truma shenitmis. When you have a barrel of wine of truma, which became tome, and we'll see soon whether we're talking about new wine or old wine, Beshama omim tishofech hakol. Beshama says you have to spill it all out, all at once, because we're concerned about takola, or Beshilo omim tasa ziluf. Beshilo say, no, you can use it for ziluf, you can keep it around and use it a little at a time to spray around for air freshener. So in other words, the previous, so it would come out on the face of it, the previous braisa that we said that choshesh takola would be only according to Bes Shammai. Although the Rashba says that no, even Bes Hillel is saying, because Bes Hillel is talking about over here about where it's old wine They don't actually specifically say that they're talking about old wine, but evidently the Rashba understands that they are, as the Gemara is going to point out, a third opinion in a second that's going to distinguish between new and old. But Bes Hillel and Bes Shammai have not made that distinction. However, the Rashba says they would be talking about old wine specifically, and therefore there's no problem of takola because you don't need to keep it around for any length of time, whereas the previous Braisa was talking about new wine. Anyway. So Basil says you can use it for zilus. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says I can make a compromise between Bishama and Basil, but bias to also zilus. If the barrel of wine is in the house, then that's where you use it for air freshener. So therefore, you can do that. You can use it for zilus. Over sodet tishofach hakol. If it's out in the field, then you have to pour it all out because then while you're bringing it back home, you may forget that it's tamei and drink some of it. Ikadamri, or some say that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's compromise was be yoshin to also zilof over chodesh tishafach hakol. If it's old, then you can use it for air freshener, and if it's new, then you have to spill it all out because again, if it's new, you'd have to keep it around for a while until it develops a strong alcohol content and until it's usable for zilof. And meanwhile, you might forget and drink from it. And as we said before, you can't put in a dirty keli because that would destroy the good aroma of it. Anyway, Omrulai, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Ein hachra shlishis machras. A third hachra is not a hachra. So Rashi says, in other words, that since neither Bes Shammai nor Bes Hillel said anything about house versus field or anything about new versus old, then what you're doing is you're bringing in a new factor which neither of them referred to. So Rashi explains, in other words, let's say if Bes Shammai had said, whether it's in the house or whether it's in the field, it should all be spilled out, then that would imply, Bes Shammai is saying, we understand there might be a logical reason to distinguish between house and field. Nevertheless, we're not going to say that, and we're going to say that you have to pour it out regardless, and similarly, Bes Hillel. But now that neither of them mentioned house or field, and neither mentioned new or old, then you're bringing in a whole new factor, which neither of them held up, and therefore that's not a valid compromise. Tosfos discusses this at some length and says another explanation of Hachra Shlishis, which means that they're telling him you're a third generation, you're generations later than Bes Shammai or Bes Hillel, therefore your compromise is not a valid compromise. Anyway, the point is that we see that Bes Shammai holds of the concept of Takola and Bes Hillel is not so worried about that. So therefore, applying that to the Braisa before then, so when there's a concern of Takola, again, either we would say it means the earlier Braisa is according to Bes Shammai specifically, or we would say that even Bes Hillel would after all agree that if it was new wine, then you do have a problem of Takola. They didn't mention that in their opinion, but nevertheless, they would hold maybe of that distinction. Okay, so this was all kind of a digression, again, because we were saying in the case of the Mishnah about the case where the barrel of honey cracked, and now the one with the wine is saving it. So we asked why he's not entitled to all the honey. So now we distinguish between the different cases when the barrel broke, but the honey is necessarily all going to spill away when there's no Ekel Beis Habad there, versus when there is an Ekel Beis Habad, and therefore therefore the honey is not going to drip away. I mean, it will gradually drip away, but only a little at a time, and therefore it's not Hefker, and therefore the owner of the wine is not entitled to the honey altogether. He's entitled to his schar, unless he made a tenai that the other guy has to pay him for his entire wine, and then he's chayav to pay him for his entire wine. Okay, so that brings us to the next piece of the Mishnah. That if he had said, I'll save your honey and you have to pay me for my wine out of your honey, then he has to pay him the full value of his wine. So the question is, am I? Even in that case, why should the owner of the honey have to pay the full amount of the full value of the wine? Why can't the owner of the honey say, I was joking with you? It's not reasonable that I should have to pay the full value of your wine out of my honey because of this kind of thing. And therefore, so when I said I'll pay you for the full value of your wine, then no, I can't be chayav for that. I can't be chayav more than what I should have to pay, have had to pay somebody else for his tircha to save my honey. In fact, the Gemara says, Miloi Tanya, haven't we learned in a Braisa in a similar vein? Harei shahoya bereach mibeis ha'asurim. Suppose a person is escaping from jail and he has to get away as fast as possible. Voisa ma'burdas v'fonav. There's a ferry in front of him. And to go on the ferry is going to need to pay. And he says to the ferryman, take a dinner and give me and take me a course. Now a dinner is much more than the ferry would usually cost. So no. So the ferryman is only entitled to the normal amount that he would be paid for a ferry trip. And the point is, Alma Amalei Meshatani Bach, which means, in other words, the ferryman can say that the prisoner who's escaping can say that, yes, I offered you a dinner, but that was Meshatani Bach. I was exaggerating that you can't hold me to actually paying you a dinner. And the fact is, actually, the Mefoshim point out, he does, after all, the ferryman himself has a mitzvah to help save the other guy's life. So therefore, you can say, Meshatani Bach, look, you were chayav to save me, even without this money that I paid, that I offered you at all. So where the other guy does not have a chiyuv to help him, then he can't say Meshatani Bach. But here we're talking about he does have a responsibility to save him because Avedas Gufoy, and therefore he can say Meshatani Bach. There's another explanation there's two major explanations among Mefoshim. One, this explanation is from the Ramah. And then there's also an explanation that we're talking about because he only said it b'shas adchak, only when there was an oinus, and therefore that's not a valid tonight. Tosfos elsewhere explains also that it's when something where you usually only get paid a small amount for it, where it's a normal thing to get paid a larger amount, then you can't say Meshatani Bach. So there's a number of factors that Rishonim bring up over here that why you can say Meshatani Bach. Anyway. So we see in the case, so he can say by the case of the ferry Alma Omele Meshatani Bach, Hochanami Lemele Meshatani Bach. So the same way over here with the wine and the honey, why can't he say Meshatani Bach and he shouldn't be required to pay the entire value of the wine? Again, whether we say because the other guy does have a mitzvah of Hashava Saveda to help him from losing his honey, or because it was an emergency situation and therefore he was saying, or because it's not the kind of thing where you usually get paid much for it. So the answer is holy dummy el the sefer. No, because you have to compare the case of our Mishnah to the sefer of the Braisa about the ferry. Where in the first case he says, here, I'm offering you a dinner. I'm not actually giving you the dinner yet, but take me a course. Now at the end, he can say, you know what, I'm not obligated to give you a dinner, just a few prutas that a ferry trip would usually cost. But if he says, till dinner zebischarcha, but if he says, here, take this dinner for your pay, bahavirani, and take me a course, then he has to pay him his full schar. And we have to realize Maishna Reisha or Maishna Sefer. What is the actual difference between the Reisha and the Sefer? And the difference is Omer Rami Machama, but Sayyid Asher the Dogim in Ayam. Because we're talking about in the Sefer, we're talking about he's telling a fisherman who's catching fish. But Omalei, so the fisherman tells him, Afsatani Kavri Bezuza, you caused me while I'm taking you across in my boat. Meanwhile, I'm losing out that I could have been catching a Zuz's worth of fish. A Zuz and a dinner are the same thing. So now I actually had a Hefzid. So now you can't say Meshatani Bach. As opposed to in the first case, there was no Hefzid involved. The ferryman wasn't doing anything at that time anyway. So therefore, we can say Meshatani Bach. So the same way in our case over here involving the wine and the honey, it's more like that first case. It's more like that second case because the owner of the wine is actually losing out. He's spilling out his wine and it's going to waste in order to save the honey. Therefore, we can't say Meshatani Bach. And therefore, if he made a tenai, because I'm losing $10 worth of wine, therefore you have to reimburse me $10 out of the value of your honey, then therefore there's no Meshatani Bach. It's like the case of telling a fisherman, stop your fishing and save me and your ferry. Then he's chayav to pay him the expected amount of what he would have earned during that time. Okay. Next. The Mishnah had said, Shotaf nor chamor v'chamor chavera shalo yafam manim. We had a case where, after the case of the wine and the honey, we had the case where there were two donkeys, one worth 100 zuz and one worth 200 zuz, and both of them were being swept away by a current, and the one who owns the 100 zuz one said, I'll leave my donkey, I'll let it drown, and I'll save yours. So we said he's only entitled to his schau tircha unless he made a tnai to the contrary.
So the Gemara says, Otsricha. Now we need both cases. The question was, we were wondering before, why does the Mishnah need to also mention the case of the donkeys isn't exactly the same as the case of the barrels? And the reason is Otsricha. We need both cases. If we were only told the first case, you would say, only in the Reisha would we say, when he said explicitly, you have to pay me for all my wine before he went and saved the honey, then he would have to pay him all the value of the wine, because he's actually losing biyadayim. He's going and spilling out his own wine. Or as Tosfos said, discussed earlier in the Masechta, that you could have also, it means the other guy, the owner of the honey, actually spilled out his wine. So something was done biyadayim. Abul hocha de memela. Here he's abandoning the donkey and leaving it to drown. So you could argue that even if he made a t'nai, he should be entitled only to his schar and not the full value of his donkey. The Iyashmin and Sefer. And on the other hand, if the Mishnah had only told us the Sefer, the case of the donkeys, you would say, you know why? If he doesn't make a t'nai, if he doesn't make an explicit t'nai, he's entitled only to his schar, mishum de memela, because after all, he didn't actually do anything. He left the donkey to drown. So therefore, we would say he only gets a schar. Abel Hossam, but in the case of the wine, to be a daim, where he's pouring it out, be a daim. You would think that even if he didn't specifically make a t'nai, maybe the owner of the wine is always entitled to the value of his wine. And therefore, we need both cases to say that no, it doesn't matter whether he did be a daim or not. Either way, without a t'nai, he's only entitled to the schar of his tircha, in the case of the barrels, also the schar of how much it would have cost to rent the keli, and in the case of the where he made it t'nai, then it goes according to his t'nai. Okay. Bominet of Kahana Merav. So now Rav Kahana asks Rav, Yorad Lahat. So what if now? So you have the two people, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven owns the 100 zuz donkey. Shimon owns the 200 zuz donkey. So now Reuven is saying there's a flood over here. Reuven saying, fine, I'll leave my donkey alone, let it drown. I'll help you save yours, Shimon. What happens? Yorad Lahatzel. So he went to save Shimon's donkey for Ola Shaloi Me'elav. Now let's say he had made a t'nai that Shimon is going to pay him for his donkey, the full value, the 100 zuz or whatever it is that it's worth. Now, in the end, Reuven's donkey managed to survive the flood and actually came out on its own. So he has his donkey, but nevertheless, he had made a t'nai that Shimon is going to pay him for his donkey. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he still entitled to, can he say that once he was mafkir it, then we can say, in effect, that he was mafkir his donkey. Now, when he was zoicha in it, then he was zoicha in it from hefker. It's not his donkey anymore. Now it was hefker for a while, and now he's zoicha in it again. So therefore, Shimon should still have to pay him. Shimon can't say, yeah, but you have your donkey back, because Reuven can say, no, I won my donkey back from hefker. The fact is, for a while over there, it was lost. Or do we say that not? The fact is, he has his donkey back. So Rav answers in Mishmaya Rechimu Alei. The answer is Hashem had Rachmanus on Reuven, and therefore, so he is in fact entitled to be reimbursed as though he did in fact lose his donkey. So therefore, he is entitled actually to that he is entitled to the value of his donkey, because we can say that it's min hashamayim that Hashem had rachmanos on him that his donkey came out, but nevertheless he still had, the other guy still has to pay him as though the donkey had died. By the way, an interesting machloikus mafoshim. What about the other way around? What if Reuven's donkey drowned, and then when it comes to Shimon's donkey, it got out by itself without Reuven's efforts? So now the fact is, Reuven lost his donkey trying to save Shimon's, but in the end, it wasn't necessary because Shimon's got out on his own. And therefore, Reuven is entitled to compensation, says Rabbeinu Yohanneson. On the other hand, the Ramosh Misara Costa says that he wouldn't have to pay him, because the fact is he didn't accomplish his shlichus. The Shita Mechubatzis brings both opinions. But in this case, the other way around, where Reuven did help save Shimon's donkey, without Reuven, Shimon's donkey would have drowned. Meanwhile, Reuven's own donkey got out safely. Nevertheless, Rav is saying Shimon is responsible to pay Reuven, because he did agree to begin with to pay Reuven. And the fact is, Reuven's donkey was drowned, and then Hashem had Rachmanus on him and brought it back to him. We have an example of Rav Safra was traveling in a caravan. sort of Safra was traveling in a caravan with a bunch of people. Lavinu Ahu Ari, a lion started going along with them. So now the lion is helping them in a way. Rashi points out it's protecting them against any other wild animals or against robbers. Any other wild animal, any robber is going to be afraid to approach and tangle with the lion. But the fact is, they have to keep this lion fed. He's helping guard them. So every night they would give one of the donkeys from the group to the lion, and it would eat it, and then that would be its food, and then therefore the lion that kept the lion together with them, and every day the lion is protecting them. When it came to Safra's turn, he's supposed to give the lion his donkey. He gave the lion his donkey, and the lion did not eat the donkey. Reb Safra went quickly and was zoicha with the donkey again before somebody else takes it. So we see, therefore, that it was Hefker, and he was able to be Zoicha in it. So they, it's considered, in other words, Hashem had Rachmanus on him. So the same way, in other words, in this case, his donkey was Hefker, Reuven, who went to save Shimon's donkey. His donkey was Hefker, and Hashem had Rachmanus on him, like he had Rachmanus on Reb Safra, that he shouldn't have to lose the value of his donkey. But nevertheless, Shimon, in that case, would be obligated to pay him. So the Gemara asks, actually, why does Reb Safra have to be actually explicitly zoicha in the donkey again, like make a new kinyan on it? Yes, when he was mafkir, it was only on the understanding that the lion was going to eat it. He was never mafkir in the first place that anybody could come and take it. To begin with, let's say we don't say he's taking the donkey and putting it near the lion. We don't say anybody else from the group could go and grab that donkey right then. Obviously, it's only meant as food for the lion. It's not meant to be hefker for everybody else. So why does he need to make a new kinyan on it? Amalei, and Ravina says, you're right. Reb Safra, Rav Chadamil, Seud Avad, Reb Safra did it just to, like, kind of to be on the safe side, just that this way nobody should have a taina that maybe we should have been able to get the donkey. So therefore, Reb Safra goes and clearly makes a kinyan on it again. So we see, in other words, that in principle, Reb Safra did not have to do anything, but because Minashamayim, he got his donkey back. So we see there was a concept of a person getting back Minashamayim, and therefore he doesn't have to. And therefore, in this case, Reuven is still entitled to compensation from Shimon for his donkey that would have been lost. Next, the Gemara says, "Bomine Rav Meirem Yorav Lahatzol VeLehitzol Mahu." What about the other way around? If Reuven is going to try to save Shimon's donkey, and he didn't manage to actually save it, and Shimon's donkey event ended up drowning. So we said just before, there's Machlokas Rishonim about what happens if Shimon's donkey was saved by itself, but here the Gemara is dealing with a different case. Reuven said, fine, I'm abandoning my donkey, I'll work to save Shimon's. Meanwhile, he worked to save Shimon's, and Shimon's did not end up getting saved, and it drowned as well. Mahu, is he entitled to compensation for his donkey? So Rebbe answers him, Vizu Sheila, is that a question? No, Emlay al Schare. He's only entitled to his schar, even though there was a tnai over there. He's still not responsible. Shimon is still not responsible to pay him for his donkey, because the fact is that he didn't accomplish his shlichus. So Esve, so Rav says, why? We have a braisa that says, "Asircher es apoyo lahavi kruv durmaskin in machoila." A person hires a worker to bring cabbage or durmaskin in for a sick person. Rashi says two possibilities on durmaskin. One is that it means plums. The other is that it's some kind of. Moss or grass or something like that, which is used either way. The point is, so if it's plums, then those are good for a sick person, and if it's moss or grasses or whatever, then you cook them up in a stew and you feed it to the sick person, whatever. So Reuven sent Shimon to go and get kruv durmaskinin for a sick person. So Shimon goes and the deal was that he's going to pay Shimon more than he would usually pay a person that so he said normally, let's say a job like that would usually I'd pay you $20. In this case, I'm so desperate for it, I'm willing to pay you $50. V'holach, so Shimon goes and brings the cabbage or the dermaskin in, or Motzei Shemeser Hivri, he finds that Levi, the sick person, is dead and doesn't need them anymore, or he recovered and doesn't need them anymore. Doesn't matter. Reuven still has to pay him the full schar. So, says Rav to Rebbe, you're telling me that if he didn't manage to save Shimon's donkey, then he's only entitled to schoroi, only to his basic schar. We're here, we see that he's entitled to his full schar, which they made to begin with, which is much more than normal. Omalei, so Rebbe says there's a big difference. Me domi, how are you comparing it? In the case of the sick person, the shliach, Shimon, did accomplish his shlichus. He did bring back the kruv or the dermaskin in. Okay, the patient is dead or recovered. That's not his problem. The fact is, he was told to go to a certain place and bring these things, and he brought them. As opposed to here, Reuven's job was to try to save Shimon's donkey, and he didn't manage to because he didn't end up saving Shimon's donkey. So therefore, that's the difference, and therefore we can't say that he should be entitled to his full schar. So therefore, he's only entitled to this schar tircha as if there was no tonight. Okay, the Gemara continues. When there's a caravan traveling in the desert, and a troop, a band of robbers comes to plunder them, to take everything they have. So now, let's say, for example, they manage to talk the robbers into, we'll give you a certain amount and you'll leave us alone. We're not going to, instead of you may have to fight against us. And after all, we're armed as well. We're traveling through the desert over here. We've got weapons. You may make it, you may not. How about they tell the robbers, we'll pay you off. We'll pay you off with a certain amount of what we're carrying and you'll leave us alone. So, machashvan lafi moment, but in machashvan lafi nefashos, we figure out each one's percentage, what they have to pay in proportion to the amount of money or the amount of goods or whatever that we're carrying. That's how most of the Mefarshim explain the case. The Chassam Sofer actually says we're talking about that the robbers stole some of the things that they were carrying, and the question is that now we have to figure out. Now we have to divide up the loss among all of us. So who has to bear more of the loss? So you go according to the money, not according to the number of people, because the fact is the robbers came for the money. Now, on the other hand, if these travelers in the desert over there had hired a guide to lead them, then you go not only according to the proportion of money, but also according to the number of people. I mean, you split. You say half of it. We figure half the guide is going to cost, let's say, $1,000. So 500 of that we split evenly depending on the number of people. So you have 10 people over there. Each one is going to contribute $50. The other 500 we figure in proportion to the amount of money or goods that they're carrying. However, they should not do differently than what donkey drivers do in that area. If they have a local minag that the guide is paid all lafi mamon or all lafi nefashos, then that's how they do it. Similarly, continues the Braisa, speaking of donkey drivers and their minhagim, Rashoyin Achamorin Lahasnos, the donkey drivers can make a deal between them. Shekomi Sheyovid Lechamorda Yamid Lechamorda Acher, any one of them, if their donkey is lost, it dies or whatever, then they will give him a donkey. They'll all pool some money together and buy him another donkey. The point being, in other words, that it's all to their benefit, because that way, when every person has a donkey to watch, then he's going to be careful. Like this, at night, they're going to be taking turns watching the caravan, including the donkeys. So like this, when he has a donkey, then he'll have more motivation. He wants to watch his own and then keep it from getting lost or stolen or whatever. And therefore, he'll watch all the other ones as well. So they can make a deal like that, almost like insurance. We'll give you another donkey. But if he lost his donkey by pshia, ain ma'amidin lo, then they don't have to give him a donkey, because that wasn't part of the deal. So it's almost like insurance, you know, where for example, if you deliberately go and wreck a car, then the insurance is not going to pay for it. So this is similarly, if he does something careless and his donkey gets lost, then they're not going to cover him with their insurance. And the Braisa continues, Vim Omar, so Shaloi Bekosi, if it was not by Pshia, Ma'amidin Loi, then they have to give him the donkey according to their Tanai. Vim Omar Tnuli Vani Eshmer, what if he says, fine, don't give me another donkey. My donkey was lost not by my pshia. An animal, let's say, unexpectedly came and grabbed it or whatever. So fine, instead of giving me another donkey, instead give me the money for the donkey, v'ani eshmer, and I'll still continue to watch with you guys at night. Ein shomim lo, they don't have to listen to him, because the whole deal is they're going to pay him only in order to buy another donkey. So he might end up using the money for something else, and therefore they're not obligated to give him the money in that case. So they want to ask Pshita, well, obviously that was their tenai. Why would we think that that they should be chayiv to give him money rather than pooling their money to buy him another donkey? And the answer is, loy tzricha, the chiddush is, de isrei chamra achrina. Suppose he has another donkey. So he had two donkeys to begin with. Now one of them was eaten by a wild animal or whatever. Now he's saying, fine, but I still have another one, which I'll watch together with you. So therefore, instead of giving me a new donkey, I don't need two donkeys. Instead, give me the money and I'll decide what I want to do with it. Nevertheless, they're not obligated to do that. Otherwise, you might have thought, look, he's guarding with them anyway because he has another donkey. Kamash Malan, no, they can say, there's a big difference between the amount of effort that you put into watching one animal versus two. When you have two animals over there, you're going to be much more moiser nefesh to make sure that neither of them gets lost, and therefore you'll watch all the other animals very carefully, as opposed to you have only one, then you may slack off a little bit. So therefore, they're entitled to tell him that no, if you want your insurance payout, it has to be under the conditions that we said to begin with, namely that we're going to pay you the money, but it has to be that money is going to be used to buy another donkey, not just that you're going to use the money for whatever you want. Similarly, the Braisa says, in a case of a ship, Tonanabanon, Sfina Shahoisa Ma'alechas Bayam, you have a boat that was traveling in the sea, and the storm blew up and was threatening to sink the ship. And they lightened the load on the ship. They took some of the cargo and threw it overboard. So now, we say again, when they're figuring out how much each person has to throw away, they figure in proportion to the amount of money. The one who's carrying more money or more goods has to throw away more. Or again, according to the Chassam Sofer, we're talking about that we mean the other way around. Having thrown some of the cargo overboard, now how do they figure who has to bear more of the loss and who less? Then we're going to figure according to Mammon. So we go according to the actual weight, because it's the weight that makes the difference. We don't figure out based on the monetary value, because when it comes to lightening a ship, unlike the case with the robbers and the caravan over there, where the difference is the amount of money, the robbers are after money. Here, when in the case of the ship, it's the actual tonnage, it's the actual weight. So therefore, you go according to the weight. But again, but again, they shouldn't do any differently than what sailors normally do in that area. And again, by the way, the Rambam brings this halacha at the end of Hilchos Chov L'Mazik. There's an interesting sicha where the Rebbe talks about a point in Avoda that we see from this, that here we Jewish people like a ship storm tossed in the sea, in the storm of Golos. And Hashem, so to speak, makes it easier on us by making that there are so many mitzvahs that we can't do during the time of Golos. Now, on the one hand, it's a negative thing. We have all these mitzvahs, hundreds of mitzvahs that we can't do nowadays. On the other hand, in a certain sense, it lightens the burden of Golos for us. It makes it easier to be able to live as a Yid. And that's and the Rambam phrases it, mitzvah rabba also, that he did a tremendous mitzvah. So the Rebbe says, in that sense, Hashem did a tremendous chesed for us by doing it that way. We still need that Mashiach should come, and we're able to do all those mitzvahs again, but then it won't be that then the ship is not in danger of sinking anymore. But as long as right now we're in Golos and we're in a ship in a storm, then Hashem makes it easier for us. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Again, the sailors can make a deal. They're going, let's say they have a whole flotilla of boats that are going together. They can make a deal. That anybody whose ship is destroyed, then they're going to give him another ship. Again, like insurance, kind of. But if he lost his donkey, if he lost his ship because of carelessness, then they don't have to fulfill their part of the deal and give him another ship. But if he did it without, if it wasn't carelessness, then they have to give him his ship. If he traveled with his ship to a place where ships don't normally go, and then his ship was destroyed, then they don't have to give him another boat. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Isn't that the same thing as carelessness? And the answer is, Loit Tzricha, de Menissin Merachi Chad Ashla. Consider, let's say we're not talking about boats that go in the sea. Let's say we're talking about river boats. Now, a river is going to be larger Nissan time because you have all the snow melt that makes the river bigger. So suppose you have Nissan time, the boats are able to go one rope length from the edge. So if they go too close to the edge, they're going to get caught and they're going to get snagged on rocks or whatever over there, and the boat is going to get damaged. So Nissan time, because the river is more swollen, therefore they can go closer to the edges, they can go one rope length away from the edge. Over Tishrei, Merachi, Tishrei, Ashli. Meanwhile, Tishrei, they actually need to be two rope lengths away because the river is much smaller over there. So, So now what happens is this person decided to take his boat during Nisan to the part of the river which is usually used only during Tishrei, the deeper part of the river. Mao de Tema, and then it was too deep and his ship sank. So you might say it's not really considered so much Pshia. He's used to traveling in that deeper part of the river, and now therefore even Nissan, he continued doing that. Kamash Malon therefore was saying that no, that's still considered Pshia. He should have remembered it's now Nissan time, we can go closer to the edges, don't go in the deep water like that, go in the shallower water where you can do that in Nissan. And if he didn't, if he went in the deeper water and his ship sank, then that's his problem. Another din as far as a caravan, when you have a caravan traveling through the desert, and a band of robbers is about to rob them, and one person goes and saves the money, so what he saved goes to the middle, meaning in other words, back to the common fund, everybody takes back their thing. But if he specifically says, I'm going to save for myself, meaning I'm going to save, and whatever I save, I plan to keep for myself, then he can keep it for himself. So the Gemara asks, hey, what's exactly the scenario? If we're talking about that the other people are able to save their money, so what? The guy says, Ani atzel atzmi, it should still be la'emtza. It should still have to, after all, the owners didn't have yirush, so how can he take it all for himself? The idol yochel la'atzel, and if the other people weren't able to save it at all, and only this guy is, afilo reishanami, then even if he didn't say Ani atzel atzmi, he should be able to keep it because they had yirush, and it's basically he's getting it from Hefker. La'atzmi, so he should be able to keep it for himself. And the answer is, we're talking about over here where it's partners. This is the kind of example, says Rami Bachama, where one partner would be allowed to dissolve the partnership even without the permission of the other. So therefore, Omar, so if he says, I am matzal atzmai, polug, then it means, in other words, he's dissolved the partnership, and therefore whatever he saves becomes his part of his. So obviously, then in that case, Rami Bachama is not saying he would be able to get 100% of it, but it means, in other words, that he would get that he would get his share. Loy Oma, but if he didn't say that, loy polug, then there's no dissolving of the partnership, and therefore it all gets divided among all the partners. So that's one answer. Rava Oma, Rava gives a different answer. We're talking about over here that you have workers, that the caravan includes workers where the leader of the caravan has workers that he had previously hired to do work for him. So we're talking about that the one who saved it is a worker who was previously hired by the caravan leader. So we're talking about the owner, the caravan leader himself wasn't able to save this money, but the worker is. Ukarab, the reason why you have a case where he saves it, he can keep it for himself, is based on what Rav says. The Omer Rav, Rav says that a worker can always quit even in the middle of the day. We're going to learn about those dinim in detail in Bava Metzia in a few months, Bez Hashem. So as long as he doesn't retract, as long as he doesn't quit his job, then it's considered he's still in the rishus of the balabas, and therefore when he saves it, then he's saving it on behalf of the balabas. The fact that he's able to quit, it's based on a different reason. Because the pasuk says ki li bnei Yisrael avodim, Hashem says the Jewish people are my servants, meaning v'lo avodim la'avodim. The Jewish people are not servants to other servants. So in other words, therefore you can't have that a person is under contract for a job and he can't quit that contract because that would affect that would in effect be making him like a slave. Now we're going to learn in Bava Metzia. We'll learn in the sixth and seventh perek of Bava Metzia, Be'ez Hashem. We'll talk about there are details about that. It depends whether he's going to cause a hefsid to the other guy by that. But the point is, in principle, there is that concept that he can quit anytime he wants. And therefore, so now when he quits, then so as long as he hasn't quit, then he's acting on behalf of the Balabas. Therefore, we're saying Hitzel La'emsa, whatever he saves goes back into the common fund. But if he says Ani Atzel La'atzmi, means he's quitting his job, and he can do that because he's not Avadim La'avadim, then therefore, whatever he's saving, he can save for himself because whatever he's saving, he's getting from Hefker. That's the second answer. Rav Ashi, Amak B'Shiyochel La'atzel La'edcha. Rav Ashi gives a third answer. We're talking about where even the Balabas would have been able to save, but it would have only been Al Yedei Adchak. It would have been very difficult to, but he could have put in the effort and do it and did it. So we don't know whether he was Miyash. So Gali Daite. So Gali Daite. If the other guy is Megaladas and he says whatever I save, I plan to keep for myself because it's going to be Hefker, and the other guy doesn't go in and try to help out as well, so then fine, it means that he was Miyash. Therefore, La'atzma, therefore the money, therefore everything that he saved goes to him himself. Loi Gali Daite, on the other hand, if the worker did not say, if the person who saved it was not Megaladas, he didn't explicitly say, then we can't assume that the Balabas was Miyash, therefore La'emsa, therefore the money goes back into the common pool. So we have three different answers. All of them are accepted Lahalacha. They're not arguing with each other necessarily. We have three different examples where we would say that Hitzel La'emsa versus Hitzel La'atzmai, one where they're partners, and when we're talking about that he's dissolving the partnership, one where we're talking about workers because he can quit in the middle, and one where we're talking about Yochel La'atzel La'edchak, all three of those answers are in fact accepted La'halacha. So in all of those cases, in each of those cases, depending on the circumstances, he'll have saved it La'emsa, and it goes back to the common fund, and everybody takes their portion, versus La'atzmai, where he can keep everything because he got it from Hefker, depending on the circumstances.